from Radio Catskill Studios. From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Well, coming up, as folks in New York City continue to wrestle with the role of police in mental health crisis responses, an upstate city is pioneering a different approach. And as you may have heard, President Trump returned to Northeast PA yesterday to tell folks affordability is no longer an issue. Local protesters were there rejecting that message, and Liam Mayo was also there reporting on all of it for you. Those stories are coming up in the second half of the program. Plus, after receiving significant pushback from the public at both hearings on Sullivan County's tentative 2026 budget, the county legislature has postponed its budget vote. That story is coming up as well. But first, we have an update on the Affordable Care Act's enhanced premium tax credits, which are set to expire at the end of 2025. Last week, New York's 19th Congressional District Representative Josh Riley joined 34 House members to introduce Common Ground 2025. It's a new bipartisan bill to extend the ACA tax credits, because if the credits do expire at the end of the month, it could leave millions of families facing premium increases of more than $10,000 a year. The Senate is expected to vote tomorrow to extend existing ACA tax credits for 3 years. Radio Catskill's Kimberly Izar spoke with Representative Riley earlier today.
You recently introduced a new bipartisan bill aimed at stopping premium hikes, protecting families' health coverage, and keeping health care affordable in the state. Tell me a little bit more about what this proposal would do for families here in our region.
Yeah, well, look, we're about to see, if Congress doesn't act, healthcare premiums spike for thousands and thousands of our neighbors, for tens of millions of Americans across the country. This was essentially what the big government funding fight was about over the last couple of months. And we just can't allow that to happen. I was just out in Delaware County over the weekend. I was down in Sullivan County over the weekend talking to folks. And small business owners, farmers, hardworking folks can't afford to see their healthcare premiums double. I had some heartbreaking stories with people who are saying, you know, if the premiums go up and these tax credits don't get extended, they're probably going to have to go without healthcare. And we just can't allow that to happen to our neighbors. Getting access to affordable healthcare is already hard enough in rural communities, and this is just going to make it worse. And so, what we were able to do was bring together both Democrats and Republicans. It's about 15 Democrats and 15 Republicans, and basically say, look, let's fix the problem for the immediate term. Let's extend these credits for 1 or 2 years. And during that period of time, we can figure out other solutions and other answers. But in the immediate term, we can't let people fall off of this cliff. And so I came to Congress to bring people together and find common ground. And that's what this legislation is all about.
And, you know, the bill proposes a 2-year extension of some of the health insurance savings. Can you kind of break down exactly what would be extended and for how long?
Yeah, so it's a 2-year bill. So the first year is basically just a straight extension. There's some guardrails that are in there. So if you're making, you know, 1,000 times more than the poverty level, then the tax credits start to phase out. But basically, this is a recognition that we're facing a choice right now where either these tax credits are going to expire and people's premiums are going to spike, or we can do something about it to prevent that from happening. Our bill for the next year would prevent it from happening. What would also happen during the course of that year is that there would be bipartisan conversations around broader reforms, bigger fixes, and then those would come to a vote during that first year to go into effect for the second year. So at least it buys us more time to solve the problem instead of forcing people's insurance premiums to go up.
And I know you mentioned that you were in Delaware County and Sullivan County even just this past weekend. I'd love to just hear a little bit more about what you're hearing from residents. I mean, the enhanced health care credits were created during the COVID pandemic and then are set to expire in just a few weeks. What are you hearing from folks about why these tax credits are so important, especially right now?
Well, it's part of a big economic challenge that so many families are having. You know, I remember when I was growing up, my folks, we used to literally sit down at the kitchen table and they would have different envelopes for the different expenses, the utility bills, the groceries, the mortgage, maybe saving up for Christmas time. And so a lot of families right now across upstate New York are having those conversations at the kitchen table. And what they've seen is the utility bills go way up. Right. So, you know, NYSEG is jacking up rates, trying to jack up rates again. We're fighting them. The grocery bills are still too high. And now all of a sudden, folks are facing an increase in the health insurance premiums. And, you know, it all goes back to the greed in our economy and the corruption in our politics, because if you look at the big corporations that are raising the prices, whether it's NYSEG raising rates, who benefits from that? The Spanish company that owns them. They're making tons of money and profits. The grocery prices go up. Who benefits from that? Well, in a lot of cases, it's these big ag monopolies, the Conagras of the world, who are making more and more profits. And with the health situation, you've got health insurance companies that are just exceedingly profitable and pumping money into the political system, while folks around upstate New York are really, really struggling. And so it's all part of that that situation where both the economy and the politics have been rigged against people.
Yeah. And I think that's similar to what we've been hearing here at Radio Catskill. It's just an extremely challenging time economically for residents. Can you tell me a little bit more about developing the bill? I know it's a bipartisan bill. I'd love to just hear more about why did you feel it was important that it was a bipartisan bill?
Yeah, look, I mean, if I could just on my own reform the whole healthcare system, there are lots of things I would want to do, particularly in our rural communities. I would put more money into our rural hospitals, not less, like what the big ugly bill did. I would expand telehealth services so that folks can get access to the care they need from their own living room. We live in this reality where to get something done in Washington, it requires compromise and it requires common ground. And the one thing that all of us who are working on this bill together, we basically came together and said, look, the two political parties are just like not getting this done. People are more interested in fighting with each other than finding common ground. And there's enough of us who are here who would rather find common ground and make a difference for folks. And so we all got together over the last couple of weeks. We literally sat down over pizza and beer and said, hey, like, what can we do? We're all hearing from folks in our communities who are really struggling and are going to get hurt by this. What can we do, setting aside the party politics, to try to fix it? And we came up with a pretty big bipartisan coalition. And, you know, it's if we can get this done, it's at least going to buy us some more time. And I think people deserve that.
Just to clarify, Representative, because I also saw that there was another bipartisan bill that was introduced earlier this week, also aimed at extending EPTCs. I just want to clarify, how does this separate bill support and align or conflict with your bill's efforts?
So my understanding is they're actually pretty similar. And I think the big picture here is that there are bipartisan solutions out there. I'm taking a look at that other bill. I think it's a lot of us who are supporting the one that I'm working on are also supporting that one. But I think which bill in particular it is matters less than the idea that there are bipartisan solutions to this problem. And all it takes is the politicians to set aside the partisan politics for a minute and do what's right for upstate New Yorkers, which is bring. I bet you if we brought our bill to the floor, I bet you it would get 250, 300 votes. The problem is the politicians are more interested in scoring political points than doing that. And so from my standpoint, I think the more bipartisan proposals that are out there, the better. The fact that there's at least these two shows us that it can be done. And now we just need people to have the political will to do it.
What are the next steps with this bill?
That's a really good question. The Republican leadership has been telling us for weeks, months, really years, that just wait, there's going to be this big healthcare reveal of their plan. I don't think they actually have a plan. I haven't seen one. I don't know that too many folks have seen one. The plan that the Republicans have, who control the House, control the Senate, control the White House, the plan that a significant number of them have gotten behind is this bipartisan deal. So we'll see. What I would love to see happen is this get to the floor and get a vote. I'm confident that if we got a vote on it, it would pass overwhelmingly, because I really think that most people would rather buy more time than have people's premiums increase. And so we'll see what happens. If everybody just plays partisan politics around here, then we could end up with, partisan bills. But there's really no reason for that when there's a bipartisan solution sitting in front of everybody right now.
Representative, just curious if there's anything else before we sign off that you want New Yorkers, especially here in the 19th district, to know.
So two things. Number one, please reach out to my office. If we can be of assistance to you, whether that's with Social Security, veterans benefits, healthcare issues. We are actually just about to open another office in Delhi in Delaware County. We also do mobile office hours all over the district, including throughout Sullivan County. Please come see us if we can be helpful. That's what we're here for. And also, I understand folks are just getting squeezed, and that's really hard, especially around the holidays. Just today, one of the other things I'm doing to try to fight back against this, I just this morning introduced bipartisan legislation to ban the utility companies from paying out bonuses to their executives while they're raising rates on us. It's really absurd that NYSEG is making hundreds of millions of dollars in profits and shoveling out massive bonuses to its corporate executives while folks here are really, really struggling. And so we're fighting on that front too. But the main thing I'd want everybody to know is, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican or independent. It just does not matter. If you need help, come in and see us.
Representative, thank you again so much for chatting this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar speaking with Congressman Josh Riley earlier today. Riley represents New York's 19th congressional district. Thank you, Kimberly. Staying on this topic, the Senate is expected to vote tomorrow to extend existing Affordable Care Act tax credits for 3 years. New York's two U.S. senators are calling on their Republican colleagues to vote in favor of the extension. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says tomorrow marks a moment of truth for Republicans in the Senate.
The clearest, cleanest, easiest, and best path left is the bill what Democrats are proposing. A clean extension of current tax credits.
In a video press conference of her own, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand said 1.7 million New Yorkers will see health care costs skyrocket in the new year if the subsidies aren't extended. She joined Senator Schumer in calling on Republicans in the Senate to vote in favor of the plan.
If Republicans vote against extending the tax credits, they are voting against their own constituents, their own neighbors, and the financial well-being of working families across the country.
Meanwhile, Republicans are proposing their own plan, which would replace subsidies with new health savings accounts, giving the money directly to the people, as they say. Gillibrand and Schumer call the GOP proposal a junk insurance plan. And neither the Democratic nor Republican plan has the bipartisan support needed for passage. And thank you to the New York Public News Network for that report. Now on to news from Sullivan County, where legislators have postponed their vote on whether or not to approve the 2026 county budget. The move comes after residents pushed back during two public hearings at the government center. Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar attended the hearing in Monticello last night and has this report.
The freezing temperatures on Tuesday night didn't stop more than 20 residents from braving the cold to attend a public hearing on Sullivan County's 2026 budget. The $305 million tentative budget includes a 9.1% property tax hike. But some residents, like Mamakating resident Janet Leibold, says that won't be possible for many in the county, especially seniors on a fixed income.
For them to put forward a 9.16% increase is unobtainable for a lot of people living in this county, one of the poorest counties in the state.
Sullivan County Manager Joshua Potosik has said the increase is in part due to the $5 million sales tax decrease the county is anticipating this year. Building and construction costs make up the largest category drop. Leibel told legislators at the public hearing that Sullivan County needs to be more financially responsible in managing the budget, like enforcing its contract for starters.
Let's go after Infinite Care for the almost $9 million that they owe this county. And let's stop dumping tons of money into an airport that is not used by most residents in this county.
Sullivan County resident Tim Diamond says that residents are feeling the weight of what a property tax increase could mean for them.
Many budgets have come and gone with no attention. There are a lot of eyes on this one. You can imagine the building supply tax revenues being down. That's a tough sell, right? And I believe that 100% is the truth. Imagine how the residents of this county feel when they see house after house, building after building going up, and then they're told the revenues are down.
At the end of the hearing, legislators agreed to move the budget vote from December 11th to December 18th so legislators could revisit the budget and look for where to cut costs, says Legislature Chair Nadia Raj.
We hear you and we are looking at the budget and we will cut the fat.
Raj spoke to Radio Catskill after the hearing. She says the public meeting went as she had expected.
A lot of people, most people in the county are not happy with the 9% increase in the budget. And that is why I suggested that we move the vote from this Thursday to next week so that we can further discuss and trim a little more. Not saying that we're going to do miracles, but if we can bring it down below 9%, maybe people will be happier. I don't think anything will make them happier unless it was a zero. That I can't promise. I don't have that magic wand.
And you mentioned that there's some massaging that potentially might need to happen. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. We've been talking, sidebar, individually, with various legislators about possibly cutting new positions, possibly taking more out of fund balance. I mean, these are all suggestions, not saying that we're going to go that route. If we do, it may be helpful, but we need further discussion as to what we can actually do to bring down that budget and make our residents happier and able to survive and live in our county.
District 3 legislator Brian McPhillips chairs the Management and Budget Committee. He told Radio Catskill that the legislator is doing everything they can to provide a budget that sustains public services and keeps the county in a good financial position for the long haul.
It needs to be reminded that originally it came in at 15%. But this is basically just a 1% increase as what was presented over the last couple of years. And due to lack of sales tax revenues, this is where we find ourselves. And again, it's the adjustment. So the adjustment on top of the loss is what's equating to this big of a increase.
Residents also raised concerns about the newly renovated terminal at the Sullivan County Airport and the county's involvement with Resort World Catskills. Legislators said no tax dollars were part of the LDC created to issue casino bonds and that the airport is necessary for Sullivan County's economy. The county legislature now plans to vote on the 2026 budget on Thursday, December 18. In Monticello, I'm Kimberly Izar for Radio Catskill.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
It is The Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. President Donald Trump returned to Northeast Pennsylvania yesterday, rallying supporters at a casino and resort in Mount Pocono with a message centered on the economy, even as protesters challenged his claims and called the visit out of touch. Inside the rally, Trump insisted inflation is, quote, no longer a problem, and accused Democrats of turning affordability into a political hoax. His remarks frequently drifted towards familiar grievances and revived first-term immigration rhetoric. Outside, the tone was sharply different. The River Reporter's Liam Mayo was there, and he spoke with Tim Bruno live this morning on Radio Chatskill.
Some of the chanters outside the rally saying, ho, ho, Donald Trump has got to go. Liam Mayo was outside the Mount Pocono Casino. Liam joins us now. Liam, folks were not happy about it outside.
Yeah. The protest we were at was organized, I don't think it was exactly outside the casino, it was nearby. It was outside a ShopRite that was along the path of the motorcade getting there. There were between 50 and 100 people, I'd say, sort of organized at a street corner alongside the route. And the people we asked, you know, for their thoughts on Trump coming to speak about affordability, considered it a little bit ludicrous, saying, like, generally he didn't really know about affordability, or painting him as out of touch, and pointing out the irony of him coming to speak about affordability at a casino. And, you know, these people are sort of choosing their place to stand carefully as well, standing outside of a shopping mall or a grocery store, a ShopRite.
And you spoke to a couple of different people on the ground, including Wayne County and Pike County residents. Who did you speak to? Isabel Hodgkin Smith. Is she from Wayne or Pike? What did she have to say?
Yeah, she's a Pike County resident. She's been part of a group organizing protests in Milford since April, they said, and generally said that Trump and Bresnahan, specifically Representative Rob Bresnahan, the representative for the 8th District, that their records were kind of abysmal on their handling of things.
Let's hear from her.
It's pure BS. Essentially, he doesn't care about affordability. He's here to try to get reelected, who has done absolutely nothing except hurt the county. And he knows that Paige Cognetti is a much better candidate. And so he's starting here on trying to do hurt as much as he can in Pennsylvania.
Mentioning the challenger, that's Paige Cognetti from Scranton, who will be challenging Bresnahan for PA's 8th district seat in the 2026 midterms. So that sentiment was seemingly echoed by others that were there as well.
Yeah, we also spoke with Julie Pease, who is a Wayne County resident, and she talked about just a list of things she was displeased with him about, handling with the economy, the destruction of government offices, the dismantling of the Department of Education. But she also just said, like, everything is more expensive now. If you look at the, you know, if you just go to the grocery store, then you feel the impacts of inflation, of the affordability crisis we're in. And she mentioned to us some of the impacts of tariffs on the economy, and specifically some of the impacts of tariffs on a business that her brother owns.
Everything is more expensive now, and the tariffs, now they're going to bail out the farmers who are hurt by the tariffs, who no longer have places to sell their product overseas because he's just destroyed all relationships that we have. And these tariffs have killed a lot of business. And my brother is an independent, and he is in the steel manufacturing industry.
Okay.
His business is dead because he did a lot of business overseas. And now with the tariffs, they're not buying.
Liam Mayo on the ground outside the Trump rally in Northeast Pennsylvania yesterday. Wendy out there talking to some protesters. Any other insights that you have from the folks that are out on the ground there, or any other the reporting from this visit to Trump, who seems to be understanding that the numbers that he's seeing in polls perhaps are declining, and he needs to get out there and go back to that campaign style rally that got him elected in the first place?
Yeah, I mostly talked with the people who were there for the like official protest, but I saw sort of along the path of the motorcade, it wasn't just people who had shown up to raise their voices. There were a lot of people just kind of standing watching. So potentially more of his supporters, or the people who were just like coming to the area to see the president come by, people who aren't necessarily wanting to raise their voices in displeasure. A lot of the people, or we asked some of the people we spoke to, like, you know, who are you trying to reach as you're out here today? What do you think protesting is going to do? And they had a couple of different audiences in mind, saying that they were looking to just sort of spread the message to the people who, you know, the drivers who pass by. A lot of people, drivers passing by, honked or expressed support, or, you know, it's hard to tell what a honk means, pro or minus, but it seemed there seemed to be enthusiasm from drivers passing by. And they also said part of the messaging is to, you know, get it on the news, to spread that messaging further. And then one of the people we talked to just said, you know, they're not sure who it'll reach if they go out there, or like what is going to help. But it allows them to feel like there are other people out there who also feel this way, who also are displeased with the president's handling of certain things. So there's a certain amount of camaraderie in gathering together for an event like that.
Leah Mayo, the River Reporter, on the scene in Northeast Pennsylvania outside Mount Airy Casino, where President Donald Trump was holding a rally yesterday. You can read his reporting about that and other reporting from the fine folks at the River Reporter at riverreporter.com. Liam, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
And big thanks to Leah Mayo and the River Reporter for that report, and thanks to Tim Bruno. Remember, Tim brings you great news and conversations for a full hour every weekday morning at 10 on Radio Chatskill. We have one more story tonight, and it's an innovative approach on addressing mental health emergencies. As the conversation continues in New York City over the role of police in the 911 mental health crisis response, another New York City, upstate, is already trying a different approach. The Albany Police Department dispatches social service caseworkers to some 911 calls. Officials say it lets armed officers focus on crime and gives residents the help they need. WNYC's Jimmy Vielkind reports.
In living room and boarding house for adult males, 76.
Diana Macy is on patrol in downtown Albany.
Green jacket, male resident threatening staff.
Her silver SUV doesn't have lights or sirens. She carries pamphlets on homeless services instead of a gun. Macy is a member of Albany's CART team, in which social workers are dispatched by the police department to certain calls.
We don't wear vests. We kind of want to differentiate ourselves a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Albany's effort, which launched in September, runs within the police department. There are similar initiatives in other cities, but they usually involve social workers employed by an outside agency. Albany's program is in line with what New York City Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani hopes to set up as a Department of Community Safety. The new mayor wants to formalize alternatives to police response in that new agency. And city officials say that's exactly the point.
There is no round peg for every single call we go on.
That's Albany Police Chief Brendan Cox. He says that the CART team helps the department fill gaps in its operations. The team did more than 100 calls in its first month.
We need another response out there. We need somebody else that we can turn to and say, we have an individual, they need help. We need help in trying to figure out what they need.
Macy says the CART team has worked well with officers so far. She spent several weeks at the police academy as part of her training, but there's a clear difference in their work.
The officers are the walking encyclopedia for penal codes and laws, and we're the walking encyclopedias for resources to address social determinants.
The CART workers drive past places where homeless people have set up encampments. They walk through the main branch of the public library to look for people who might need clothing or shelter.
So back in this area and other areas in the library, there's usually a lot of complaints for people sleeping, refusing to leave, stuff like that.
Brooke Letart is the other senior caseworker on the CART team. She describes one success story involving an older woman who just kept calling 911 to say her car had been stolen. In reality, the woman had sold the car, but didn't remember doing it. Letart figured out the woman didn't need any housing or other services, and then told the dispatcher to just put the woman through to her cell phone.
So now she'll call my phone multiple times a day, and we'll just chat, and she'll ask the same questions, and she's upset about her car and things like that, but there hasn't been one police call since.
The sun sets. Macy is going to one of the city's hospitals to help a homeless man before he's discharged. She gets back into the car and waits for the next call. In Albany, I'm Jimmy Vielkind for the New York Public News Network.
Well, thanks to the New York Public News Network for that report, and thank you for listening. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. Retro Cocktail Hour is coming up at 7, but before all of that, we've got more news from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
Support comes from Garnet Health Medical Center, Catskills, with campuses in Harris and Calicoon, offering inpatient and outpatient services to Sullivan County and surrounding communities. Learn more at garnethealth.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio.